has a lot to do with answering what I think is a very, very common feeling that many of us have in our walk with the Lord. I think throughout our life in God, we find ourselves in so many different kinds of situations as we're you know, growing older and doing this and doing that. Our physical life situation certainly changes a lot, but so does the inside things. And the kind of stuff that we face can very often be very daunting. And I'm just going to give you a quick little list of six situations that I encountered really from say Wednesday through Friday of this week. I mean, just little kinds of things, but they are so varied in the position that people find themselves, so different how, where everyone is in God right now. And the question, of course, as you can see from the title that I'm trying to answer, is does God know where I am? Is He around? Does He see what I'm going through? Does He see what I'm facing? And that, of course, leads into a million other questions about does He care? Will He do anything? How long do I have to stay? All of these kinds of questions. But they really can be condensed down to this one question. Does God really know where I am? Is He just a God who issues edicts and commands long, long ago and says, this is how I want you to live your life, and don't bother me now until all is said and done. And then when, you know, it comes time to the end, then I'll come back and meet you and we'll go from there. Is it a God who only spoke things long ago, just like we look and see the light from the stars and we know that the speed of light, what it is and how far these stars are away, and the light that you're seeing now was light that was shining, you know, they always say some ridiculous thing like 4 million years ago or something like that. Oh, great. If that doesn't make you feel like you're living in the past, I don't know what does. You know, or is that what God is like? That He has spoken things, that He has shown Himself, but it's so long ago, it's already set in motion, so that what you are getting from Him when you receive the Word of God, or what you're getting from Him in your day-by-day life, is just some canned and stock response that God has done a long time ago. Or does instead God know you? And does He know where you are? Does He know what you are facing? Is He puzzled? Or is He absolutely certain about what's going on in your life? I think of the family that I know of whose financial situation has just become so overwhelming. You start to listen to the numbers that they tell you about where they are financially, and it's just like, I mean, it just takes your breath away. Does God know that? The woman whose fears that she can't be enough or that she doesn't know enough, whose fears have kept her from being at her husband's side where her husband wants her to be in moving in into significant ministry, but her fears have kept her locked away. Does God know that? Does He see that? Does He have an answer? The man whose distortions in his own life, in his own soul, are leaving him virtually barren in relationship to other people. And he ends up so lonely, and the distortions make him more lonely and more lonely and more lonely. Does God know that? Does God have an answer? Can God speak a word or do a thing that will so individually and so uniquely touch that man and make things well? The woman whose torn soul when she was much younger, who was forced into intimacies against her will, and how that will tear a woman's soul a little bit, and now that tear, like a cut in the skin, you know, we have germs all over us, our skin all the time, but once that skin gets cut, then the germs that are on the skin can work their way into our skin and produce an infection. And now this woman, having been torn years ago, falling back into a pattern that was imposed upon her, but this time doing it seemingly of her own choice. Does God know that? Can God see a difference between something that is a reaction as opposed to something that is a choice? A man I talked to whose longing is to be in pastoral ministry. He wants to serve God with all his heart. It's like he's ready and waiting. Okay, Lord, that's it. I'll be a pastor. Go ahead. I'm ready. Anything. But instead of finding himself being taken up by God, he is in a situation that just disallows him having almost any time for anyone, much less to be a pastor. Does God know that? Is God keeping that man on track? And the woman whose integrity forced her into a very difficult confrontation with her boss, where she had to virtually say to this boss, you are a liar. And because of the situation, I mean, it was the case, and now her job is in jeopardy, and a great deal rests on this woman being able to keep her job. Does God know that? Is He there for us? I think as well that this the season that a lot of us have come through, this desert time, or are still in the midst of, and aren't you sick of talking about the desert? Yes, I am. In your bulletin is a great article by a woman in our church who is sick of hearing about the desert. Welcome to the club, is all I have to say. But some things, when we go through, they leave us a little bit shaken. When life doesn't turn out the way we really anticipated that it would, when ministry situations that we went into with full heart and full hope ended up going south on us, when relationships flip and become different than what we had anticipated, when the resource we were counting on financially doesn't materialize and now we're in a place, does God know all of this? And the answer, of course, is yes. But you can find yourself sometimes shaken, a little shell-shocked, feeling isolated, lonely, not really knowing what to do. And I believe that a lot of us are feeling right now that I can't hear God very well. I don't know what it is that God is saying to me. And because we are a people who have tried to learn as best we know to really listen to God, and whatever it is that He says, we're going to go ahead and do it. We want to learn to see God. And when we see Him moving, then we want to go along with what He is doing. And yet we come to a time when many of us are feeling like I can't see God. And it engenders a degree of panic. And the feeling like, I'm not quite sure what the Lord is saying to me. And so even though you go about doing the things that you know are right to do, even though you are willing to serve and to go for it, because there isn't that voice of the Lord directing you and guiding you as to which way you should go, you feel more and more insecure, and you begin to feel like you are blowing it, even though you're not blowing it. It's just that you haven't heard or you haven't sensed that near presence of God. And I think what can subtly happen sometimes is you and I, who have such an earnest desire to seek God. That's what we're told to do in the Scripture. We're told to find the Lord, to search Him out, to come to discover. You know, we'll even say to you, we'll get counsel this way, where we'll say, just have to find God in the midst of it all. What is God up to? Listen to the Lord. What is He saying to Him? But when people who are used to following that counsel are in situations where it doesn't seem like God is saying anything, or if He is, we can't hear, and we can't see Him, it can really produce a degree of panic. And I feel that, like a little barometer or something, the uncertainty level beginning to rise, and I feel like people are starting to almost choke on the fact that, oh, where's God? I don't hear what He's saying. And so I want to answer the very simple question, does God know where we are even when we don't know where He is? Is it possible for God to be leading and directing our life when we are unaware of the fact that He is leading and directing? And I believe the answer is yes. There's some times when you should find the Lord, but there are other times when you can just rest in the fact that He never loses sight of you. And with His eye upon you, He will lead you and guide you in the way that you should go. And so I'm wanting to basically answer two things, or come at this two ways. The front side of the sheet is answering the question, or making the statement, that God sees you and knows exactly what is going on in your life. And the back half of this outline is simply making the statement that God can lead you even when you don't hear Him and even when you don't know that He is leading you. So this is supposed to be a very hopeful, happy kind of a message. So we're gonna smile now and work at it. Okay. Now, what I have done, just because for me personally, if I am ever facing a question, whenever there's an issue or a quandary in my own personal life, and I want to get answers from the Word of God about what it is that I'm facing or thinking, this is the kind of Bible study that I do. I just start at one verse that I can think of that relates to that subject, and then I will check the cross-references in my Bible about that verse, and it begins to build a whole framework of Scripture. And what you have on both sides of this sheet of paper are the Scriptures that I discovered in my own study wanting to answer this question. If I don't know what is going on, is God still doing something good in my life? Okay, and so I'm just going to take you down exactly the way that I would study them myself, and you're going to get the freshly baked thoughts. Okay, I started with Psalm 139. It's a great scripture. You can either turn to it in your Bible, but I've printed it out there for you. This is New American Standard Translation, by the way. And there are seven principles that I get from these verses that you see right here, and so I'll just give them to you, and you can write them down on the right-hand side. And by the way, on my own little computer, I did this little outline. I'm quite excited about that. Thank you very much. But you could probably tell, couldn't you? If you knew what an artistic moron I was, then you would know what a miracle this is. Okay, principle number one is that God's gaze penetrates me and examines my insides. That's the meaning of the word, that he has searched me. It's a penetrating word, and he pokes his head into your soul and kind of looks around to see what's in there. God knows everything that's going on inside of your life. Number two, God knows your every step, and he knows your every thought. He never says, you know, he never looks up from what he's reading or something like that. Where'd they go? You're not like a toddler. Or maybe you are like a toddler, but God is much better at keeping his eye on you than you and I are at keeping our eye on our own toddlers. You know, those little worms can squirm away all over, and then all of a sudden it's, where did they go? God never, ever, ever loses sight of you. In fact, literally, he never takes his eye off you. He knows your every step. He knows your every thought. I know this is scary. It's supposed to be hopeful. It is scary. Number three, God knows where you go, and he knows how you live. That's what it means when it says that you scrutinize my path and my lying down, and you're intimately acquainted with all of my ways. The word ways there means customs or habits of life. God knows everything about your tendencies, like a poorly aligned car. You always are going to the right unless he holds the steering wheel. He knows the tendencies. And even if he would lose sight of you, which of course he doesn't, knowing what he knows about you, he could close his eyes for several days, knowing you so well, yep, about now they're going to, yep, they're probably right over here. And sure enough, that's where you would be. He can anticipate where you are headed because he knows you so well. Not just because he knows the future. He knows you, and he can, if I put this into quotes, he can guess what your next step, what your next word is going to be. That's how well he knows you. Number four I like, it comes from the second paragraph there, he has you surrounded. Boy, I'm going to have to work on this for the next service. These aren't sounding too hopeful, are they? God has you surrounded. He's enclosed you behind and before with his hand upon you, and underneath are the everlasting arms we learn from elsewhere. And no matter how you are feeling, God has you surrounded, and that's good news. Number five, wherever you end up, he's there. Wherever you end up, he's there. You go to the furthest reaches of the ocean, the tallest part of the mountains, God is still there. And now this is a very beautiful insight, the last line of that third paragraph, that even there, thy hand will lead me, and the right hand will lay a hold of me. We're going to look at that on the backside of this outline. But no matter where you end up, no matter even if you've gotten off track, the furthest reach of wherever you could go, even at that point, God will still lead you. And there is a false feeling, there's a false sense that many sincere Christians have that if they blow it, if they do wrong, if they step off the path, if they run away from God and what he has for them, then God will stop leading them. And he says to them, now that's it, I'm finished with you. No. No matter where you go, even from that point, God will lead you and direct you. Okay, the next scripture out of the book of Daniel. Ooh, I like this one. Basically, it's saying that God is the God who reveals things that are hidden, and nothing is hidden from him. This still is not very hopeful, is it? I guess it depends on what's in our life, doesn't it? Well, I'm going to have to go back to the drawing board. Well, I won't tell the next service that it's a positive thing. I'll tell them you can just count on this and so on. See, the beauty of it, God discloses stuff. He is a God of uncovering, not a God who is lost. You know, the devil never comes up and takes three of those little shells. That's what I'm looking for. Thank you. With a little pea under it or whatever it is. The devil never can come up and say, you know, and do all this and then say to God, okay, guess. The Lord looks right through the shell. I mean, you know, the devil's up there doing all this and that, thinking how exciting he is. But if you have X-ray vision to see right through the shells, no matter how much trickery is going on, God just looks down. You know, he can kind of whistle and looks down, sees right through the shell, and that's the pea. And God says, well, there. And the same is true of your life. He reveals things. Nothing is hidden from his sight. Wherever you are, whatever is going on, whatever the motive, whatever the situation, he can see it. And then 2 Chronicles, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support hearts that belong completely to him. Now you're going to love this word, strong support. And let me give you some synonyms for that expression. It means to strengthen. And I know that some of us have been feeling a bit on the weak side. It means to cure, like from an illness or from a cure from poison or something that you've taken. It means to help, to fortify, and to repair. Now, think of it. The Bible says God is looking all over the whole world, looking for a heart that belongs to him, that is completely his. The word there is the same root word as the word shalom. God is looking for hearts that are at peace with him. God is looking for hearts that are friendly disposed toward God. And what I just learned myself in my own study is, oh, I get it. If I'm ever feeling like I don't know what's going on, or I don't know if I'm going to make it through this or through that, instead of being all involved thinking about this over here, all I have to do is to make sure that my heart is right before God and I can come back and be at peace with him. And friend, this is the promise. If you get at peace with God, then he will come along and strengthen you if you need strength in your situation. He will repair whatever is being broken. He will fortify you when you don't have the oomph to do it. And instead of going around looking for strength, instead of going around looking for answers, the promise of this scripture is that if I will just find peace with God, then that has a way of resolving all the other things that are going on. And I personally believe that some of the stuff that we go through, some of the agonies that we are in, is God's allowance so that we get brought to the place of finding only him. And probably most of us in this room know that experience of being so beyond yourself and so out of your element that you would know how to resolve or do something, that the only hope you have is to find God. And when you have found peace with God, it's like, I don't know, it answers everything. And I didn't understand exactly always why it answered everything until I was just reading the scripture. Because at that point, when your heart is at peace with God, he moves in with all these things to fortify, to cure, to strengthen, to resolve the stuff that you don't know how to resolve any other way. And just at a meeting we had last Sunday evening with your ICU leader and cluster leader that I like to get together with once a month just to, you know, keep discipling them and training them and teaching them things so that they know better how to help you in the situations that you're in. And I was just reminding them this last Sunday of the story of Mary and Martha. And Mary was a woman who came and was trying to say to God that she loved, to Jesus, that she loved him. And the way she was saying, I love you, is by running around doing all these wonderful things. It was a very sincere heart. I really... And her sister, instead of running around doing all those things, chose an even better way to express her gratitude to Jesus. And she just sat at his feet and listened to what it was that he said. And I think that God is just urging us to come to that place of peace with him. And then he moves in and takes care of so many other things that we could never take care of on our own. You know what I'm talking about? You always have two choices. You can scramble, trying to do all the things that you know you're not going to be able to do, or you can just say, let the plates fall, I'm going to be with the Lord. And it's like somehow the plates don't fall off their spinning thing if you're with the Lord. And so this is the scripture that he will strongly support, he will strengthen, fortify, cure, and repair hearts that are at peace with, hearts that are friendly with him. Okay, I think I'll jump you down to the bottom of this front page then. Great, great passage out of the book of Hebrews. It's talking about this book right here. And elsewhere in this book, in Psalm 119 and elsewhere, it tells us that God's Word is like a lamp to our feet. And when we are walking in darkness, when we don't know what to do, when we are without strength and without direction, when we feel that shell-shocked frailty of our own soul, when so many things are overloading us, when our finances are disappearing, when relationships are falling apart, when the world is going nuts. This is the book that you take out. Because in the middle of the darkness, now it doesn't say that it will turn everything around you into light. It gives you just enough light to see about one step. And you kind of hold this up, you know, like you do with a lantern or a candle or something. You hold it up high and it illuminates things. And so this is what you do. You take this out and strike a match. This analogy is going nowhere, but you know what I'm saying. Okay. And you hold this thing up, and it has a way of showing you not only what the next step is that you want to take, but it will make sense of the immediate surroundings that you find yourself in. If you want to understand and get a sense of the lay of the land, why is this happening? What is going on? How come this is developing like this? Take out this book. And I don't care if your situation is a job that you're struggling with up at UCSC, or a relationship with your older sister who lives back in Wisconsin and she's just written you this letter and you can't make hide nor hair out of it, or if it has to do with the memory that just keeps coming up from your past, or something that somebody said to you and it was just like something that somebody else said to you. And if you want to know what's going on, what is happening, take out this book and read this book. And as you let God speak to you, He will interpret and explain all these things that are going on around you. But the answers are found in this book. It is a lamp to your feet. Okay, so the Word of God is living and active. The word there is operative, effectual. It really does its thing. And it's sharper than any sword. It can pierce down or penetrate down to the very division of your soul and of your spirit, which is the deepest part of you that no psychologist could ever tell you where it is. To the deepest part of your soul and your spirit, of both joints and marrow, and it is able to judge your thoughts, your intentions, your motives. And there is no creature hidden from God's sight. But it says that all things are open and laid bare. You're going to love this imagery to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Here's the image. All things are open and laid bare. Okay, laid bare, it's just a polite way of saying naked. All things are naked to God. There's no hiding. I mean, what it is what it is. He sees it for what it is. It can't be camouflaged. It can't be dressed up. He knows exactly what it is. But when it uses the word open, all things are open. The best image that you could get for that word is the exposing of the throat. All things are open and vulnerable to God. This will sound too gruesome, and God is not gruesome, how can I say? It literally is an open throat like this, and you can be had at. Everything is open to God. It's vulnerable to God. He knows exactly what it is, and He can put a stop to anything. It's vulnerable to His actions, to His doings. Okay, so everything is exposed to God. He sees it all. Now we get to the part, as usual, near the end of the evening, that I'm the most excited about. It's on the back side of this page, and I won't be able to go through all of these scriptures, but I am so excited. I've learned something that I never knew before, and I only had a hunch about it this week when I was talking to people, and I could feel like they felt they weren't hearing God, and they're such sincere Christians, and they were starting to feel scared, like maybe I'm doing something wrong. And I just kind of had this little flash in my heart. That's where this teaching came from, a little... like that old-time photography powder, you know, poof, that's what happened, poof. This little thought I had, I wonder if God's leading us could ever be different than just Him giving us instructions and we had to follow. I wonder if sometimes God's leading would be more like Him directing us or taking us and dragging us somewhere even when we didn't get it. Because for me at least, okay, maybe this is my thing. Aren't you glad to have a pastor with things? Okay, I am. My thing. My main sense of being led by God is the Lord would say, now I want you to go here. And then say that. Or God saying, now this is what I'm doing in your life. You have a choice here, son. You can do it the easy way or the hard way. I mean, this is my basic sense of God. He gives you instructions, and then you follow these instructions. That's being led by the Lord. Well, you can see the panic that begins to develop if you aren't hearing Him saying anything. If He's the backseat driver, which that's my image of God, as the backseat driver, I have no idea where we're going, and He just tells me when to turn right, when to turn left, and I'm always so, do I turn now? Do I turn now? Do I turn now? And God's like, I'll tell you, just drive. Now, do I turn now? Do I turn now? Or He says, turn right, and I'm like, well, you know, I don't know, maybe let's go up a few more blocks. But if you're driving along and all of a sudden you don't hear anything, And this is what most of us do. You look for, he's not there. You know, you get into it. You get into a, into a wreck. And my thought is that the only way God leads you is he talks to you. And what I've discovered is that there are at least three different ways that God leads you. And I'm thrilled. Okay, here we are. We get two of them in the very first scripture, so let's read that. Oh, what a beautiful scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I think I've told you before that until I was actually an adult, I never understood that. You know, I learned to quote this when I was a kid. The Lord is the shepherd, I shall not want. And I always thought, I thought this whole operation is about him. And now we're saying, just want to be clear, you're the shepherd that I don't want. You see how important punctuation is? It's very meaningful, isn't it? Yeah. So you are the shepherd that I want, and because I want you, I won't want. You know, okay. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me. You know, I kind of picture myself, no, I'm not gonna. And he makes me to lie down in green pastures. An ornery little guy that I am, I'm not gonna lie down, I got work to do. And that's what I told you last week. I felt like God just cut my legs out from underneath me. And that I was sick for a whole week, and I didn't even feel I was supposed to stand up and pray hard about it. I just felt like God said, how do we get this guy down? Cut him off at the knees. That works pretty well. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And he leads me beside quiet waters. Okay, this definition of lead, I'm going to give you three different ones for lead, but this one, think of it, it literally is the expression of sparkling water that is flowing. And so when God leads you, he leads you in the same way that you would be led if you were a stick thrown into a nice moving stream. The flow of what is already going on, or the channel of water, the riverbed that God has already established, is the direction that you will end up going. He leads you by what he has already caused to happen, by the flow that is already developing. And you don't have to hear anything. A stick can float down a stream and get it right. Yeah, it's like, yeah. And don't you feel sometimes like a dead log? Don't you feel like a water-soaked piece of bark? There is a flow that goes way beyond what you know. Ooh, rhymed. So it's like water carries you with a current or with a tide. You get carried. You get led. He makes you lie down in green pastures. And he leads you. He conducts you. You flow by still waters. He restores my soul. Now, he guides me. Here's another of these lead words, okay? How can I explain this? Okay, it's the idea of how you would like a chariot, and God is the driver of the chariot. You're the chariot, which is better than being the horse. So things are looking up. You're the chariot. He's the driver, and he guides you. How? By speaking to you. They didn't have speaker-directed chariots in those days. He was the one that was steering something that's out ahead of you, and because he is in you, because he's in you, you end up going where he wants to take you. Because he's the driver in the chariot. You're the chariot. He's in you. And he gets you where he wants you to go, because he is steering things and directing things that you don't know anything about. Take away the horse, take away the charioteer, and what do you have? A lopsided, two-wheeled nothing. But if he's in you, he can lead you, he can guide you. The chariot doesn't even have a steering wheel. It's just two wheels. Somehow that's meaningful to me. Okay, he guides me in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. And you will find this over and over in the scriptures. For the sake of his name, because he has established a covenant with you by giving you his name because of who and what he is. He is committed to taking you places and leading you and directing you at times when you don't necessarily even know about it. Okay, let me take you down now. Okay, so that next scripture. For thou art my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you will lead me. This is the third lead, the third definition, okay? It literally means to transport you in the same way that you would transport a group of colonists to go to a new place. No kidding, this is the real specific meaning of this word. You transport, like we have troop transports that would go along and then arrive at a particular destination. It's taking a group of people from where they have been to a whole other place. If there were exiles, those exiles would be led into captivity. They are being taken by someone bigger or stronger than themselves. And we're going to make it colonists instead of exiles. But when you have colonists, where do they go? They go places that they haven't gone before. And it's not that they have to even know the way. They just get taken there. Think of a family vacation, and you will understand this word lead. When we're ready to go on the family vacation, basically, you know, okay, everybody in, pile in, kids. And, you know, it's like amazing. My kids always end up where we take them in the van. They don't have to know anything. If they get in, they get taken, they get led. And if you could hear the heart of Father God saying to you as his kid, all right, kids, pile in. We're on our way. Now, I understand that you may want to start asking, how much further, how much further, how much further? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? See, this is what we're doing when we're talking to God in the same way. Oh, pull over. See? Now God's saying, already? Again? And so he gives us advice like, okay, kids, everybody go before we go. And what do the kids always say? I don't have to. To which you always reply, go anyway. See? If we'll just follow the instructions, pile in the van and not worry about where we're going. The promise is that you'll get there and you'll know it when you're there. And you don't have to hear a thing to be led by God. Sometimes he'll lead you by just sticking the sodden stick that you are into the stream and it gets taken a certain way. And sometimes just because he's in you, he will sovereignly direct you. The mind of a man plans a path, but the Lord directs the steps. And sometimes he'll just say, pile in. Let's go on vacation. Let's go for a ride. And you don't have to know much. You don't have to hear much. And if you're like our kids, you don't even have to have much strength. You know, sometimes they can barely get themselves in the van. And once they get in, we close that door, I hit the auto lock, and off we go. You don't have to know a lot. You don't have to be very strong. You have a great and kind and good Father who will get you where you need to go. Let's pray. Oh, Father, how we thank you that truly your ways are not like our ways. That at every turn in our life we find yet again that you are so much greater than we are. So much more gracious than we are, so much more accommodating than we would probably think that you are. We do want to be a people, O God, of faith who when we hear what you say, that we believe it, who when we see what you do, that we will go along with it. But thank you, thank you, thank you, God, that it isn't the only way that you can lead us by having us hear something or having us know something or see something, that you have reserved for yourself to lay hold of us with your right hand and take us by the hand and just walk us through the wilderness and just walk us through the woods and just walk us through the crowd of people and walk us through the circumstances that are around us. And so if we don't hear you, and if we don't see you, we believe, firstly, that you are still here. And secondly, we believe that you are able to get us where you're taking us. And in that, O God, in that, we will take comfort and find peace. I'm going to ask you to keep your eyes closed for just a moment. I'm going to talk to two groups of people here very quickly. The first group would be people who don't have any relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And in just a few minutes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to decide whether or not tonight is the time when you would like to begin that relationship. But before I do that, I want to talk to a second group of people, and I want to make really clear to you that I'm not asking you just now to acknowledge a sin in your life. I'm wanting to ask who there would be here this evening that you say, Pastor, you've been describing me. I just have felt like I haven't heard you, I haven't known what you're doing, and I've been so afraid that I'm blowing it or missing it or something. And now, O God, I hear you saying to me, you're in charge. You're taking control of things, Lord, and you're going to get me where I'm supposed to go. And I want to just release you, if that's you this evening. Let me start in the side sanctuary. Would you look at me and let my eyes meet with yours if you've been feeling, Lord, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know where you are. And you've been nervous about it or worried. Yeah, good. Okay. It's okay. He can get you there. He's very used to this. He's been putting kids in the van for centuries. And in the main sanctuary, who are you here? Looks like there's a lot of us, but I want to catch your eyes. He's got it all under control. And if He's in you, the same Spirit that quickened Jesus from the dead can surely quicken you and direct you and transport you so that you end up where you're supposed to be. If you love the Lord with all of your heart and soul and your mind and your strength, and you say to Him, Lord, you can have me, do with me what you will. Oh, now there's a sacrifice and an offering He won't pass up. So let Him direct you. Let Him guide you. Let Him take you where it is that He's going. Yeah, good for you. Good. Yeah, wonderful. 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 Okay. Now that second group of you, I wonder, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, have never known the power of God forgiving you, wiping away all of the wrong things you've done and said and thought, and you would like to experience that forgiveness tonight, if you would like to open up your heart to Jesus Christ, would you look up at me now? And it's so hard for me to see your eyes past the first two or three rows. If you would just lift your hand, and the lifted hand and your eyes meeting with mine would be your silent statement. Pastor, I want to open up my heart to Jesus Christ. Any this evening. I need the Lord. I need to know His mercy and His touch. Well, Lord, we celebrate You for Your ability to get us where You're taking us. That You who have begun a good work are going to finish it. We thank You in Jesus' great name. Amen.